Scripture's evening comes from Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 15. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 15. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. We hold in the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if we hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you all. And hey, there's Gary. I sent him a text. I'm like, are you okay? Rare not to see you here. Okay. Yep. I'm glad we don't have any high-up windows. Okay, so, anyway, that's right. Turn with me, if you will, before we get to our primary text, over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. You know, we've heard that passage a number of times over the years, and you know, a lot of the teaching that comes from it is to discuss Christ and his rule over all days, if you will. You know, he was chastised once for him and his disciples. They were going out in the fields and they were gleaning wheat to eat. And another time the Pharisees didn't like it because he healed a man's hand, withered hand, on the Sabbath day. And all those discussions pretty much are for Christ to show his authority. But the big thing that they come about is that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay, so many times we like to regulate things that we read in Scripture that was not God's intention. And so Jesus has all authority, and Jesus is trying to make us understand the compassion that God has for us. So, that's what those are discussions usually are. But now we come over to Hebrews 3, 12 through 15. And I think we need to not only remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but we need to remember the weekday to keep it holy. Oh, what are you talking about there? All right, Hebrews 3, 12 through 15 says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. He's warning us that we can fall away. He's warning us that we can have an evil or unbelieving heart. And so he's trying to encourage us, all of us, to take care. And then he says how we overcome that. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. So one of the ways that we take care not to fall away is to encourage one another. Many times we come together, and I'm going to tell you, I feel very encouraged after a great message like we heard this morning, or getting to fellowship and talk with each of you. I think our Wednesday night summer series has been excellent this year. Our speakers have really done a fantastic job. And that's good. When we come together, we should feel encouraged. But our work is not done. Our time together is not done on those occasions. We need to be encouraging each other day by day. You know, we wear different clothes on Sundays, usually, than we wear on the rest of the week. I don't. This is what I go to work in. But anyway, but, you know, I have been known, if it's a Sunday morning, to put a suit on, right, when I'm preaching. We dress up a little more. We look a little better. We clean up a little nicer, right? And then we have our work that we do the rest of the week. So are the rules different for a Christian on Monday than they are on Sunday? That's something we need to think about. In the early church, there was work every day of the week that they did. There was things that they did to keep their faith. There was things that they did to help others. And so what I'm going to tell you is Sunday is very important to worship God, but every other day of the week, there's something that we can be doing for the kingdom. So in the early church, let's go over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 3. And this is that famous prayer that Jesus used to teach how to pray. And the thing he says in verse 3 is, "Give us each day our daily bread." I'm going to tell you, I think that he was encouraging them to pray every day about that. You know, there wasn't just a prayer on Sunday morning, "Well, Lord, give us our bread this week, every day this week, please." He wanted a dependency. And so, you know, Archie's been taking us through a really good study on prayer. I think one of the things he's tried to encourage us to do is do that regularly. Even this morning, he mentioned that and how we should have a focus. Well, the early church was praying on a regular basis. And again, if we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, we're told to pray without ceasing. It should be a regular habit. It should be something that is in the forefront of our mind. In Philippians 4, 6, the scripture says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Everything. Archie asked a pretty stunning question this morning. Do we sometimes not go to the Lord in prayer about something that we think that He might consider insignificant? This says everything. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. So, on Monday morning when you wake up, do you pray? On Monday, when you're having a difficult time at work, do you pray? On Monday, when you're going about your business and things are going well and you got a letter from the bank that tells you, "Thank you, Aaron, in your favor, $200, are you thankful to God? Are you praying about that? Okay? Are you praying? Remember the weekday to keep it holy. The early church was also engaged with daily Bible study. You know, you can read about Christ, about the kingdom, about God, about being a Christian on other days of the week besides Sunday and Wednesday. You're allowed to do that. I give you permission, okay? I give you permission because the scripture has lots of different examples of that. The Bereans were considered more noble because of their study of the scriptures. So again, if we go over to John chapter 5, verse 39, Scripture says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." We search the Scriptures to understand eternal life, and we find the source is Jesus. Acts 17:11, that passage I referred to. "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." If you want to be great at the Bible, And understanding it and knowing it, looking at the scriptures every day, is an important thing to do. And imagine what would happen if you studied the scriptures every day of the week, and Archie asked you a question in Bible class on Sunday morning, and you know what? I was just studying that this week, and you were able to talk about that. That would be great. You'd have something maybe to share more with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You would be able to, when people are having problems around you, share with them God's wisdom. So daily Bible study is part of keeping the weekday holy. You know, our kids, you know, Mindy's going to go through this here in a couple of weeks, right? And then depression set in. she's going to go that first week of school, and those kids are going to be back there, and they haven't cracked a book all summer long, and she's going to have to reteach them some things that they should be ready to go with, all right? I remember back in the day when I had my summer break, I turned my brain off. I didn't care about any of that stuff, right? And so it took me a few days to acclimate back to school. Well, if we want to be strong as Christians, you know, maybe we ought to crack a book a little more often so we don't have to reacclimate, right? So we don't have, oh yeah, okay, I know what he was talking about. It's easier for us to understand the scripture. So study your scriptures daily. We can also do daily evangelism. Matthew 26:55, at that time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a man inciting a revolt? Every day I used to sit within the temple grounds teaching, and you did not arrest me." Jesus was trying to teach people every day, whether it was at the temple, whether it was his travels, whether it was preparing his disciples for their ministry. He taught every day, and he taught them the ways that led to Christ, to heaven, to eternal life. We need to be able to evangelize every day in whatever way we can. You know, Kara and I and Tom went out to lunch this afternoon, and Kara wanted the waiter's name to pray for him because he was telling us about some of his health issues. We've been talking to this guy for a couple years and inviting him to come. So you can, yes, it was a Sunday, but we go out to eat pretty regular, so sometimes we get to know the waiters in different places. You can talk to them about Christ. Guess what? They want a good tip. They're going to listen to you, right? They're not going to get mad at you. Maybe in the back they will, but they're not to your face anyway. You can talk to your neighbors. You can just be kind and set an example. There's ways to evangelize. Acts 2:47 says, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." This was the example of the early church. And their message was producing fruit. One of the things that really encourages me when I look at Facebook is when they post baptisms. I have a friend in Florida. He has a page called Wet Sleeves Report. Why does he call it Wet Sleeves? Any of you who've ever baptized somebody, when you put them down in the water, your sleeves get wet. They hang down there, right? So if you're doing it right. Okay. So he calls it a wet sleeves report, and they'll put a new brother or sister that's been baptized into Christ. Sometimes we think that just because somebody wasn't baptized here on a certain day that there was no good work. The work of the church goes on over and over and over worldwide. And so it's a good thing for us to understand that and to play our part in evangelizing. Acts 20, verse 31, "Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. This apostle was telling them to be on the alert, to understand how important it was that the message that was being given to them. You know, evangelism is not always just people around us. Sometimes it's people that we worship with need to be reminded of the gospel. We also need to understand that we can exhort one another or encourage one another every day. Hebrews 3:13 we read, "But encourage one another every day, as long as it is still called today." You know, we were doing that with Dana. We've been doing that with Doreen. We've been doing that with so many people on our prayer list. We've prayed for people and prayed for people and prayed for people because we want to encourage them and try to help them out, to let them know that they're not alone, to help them in their walk towards heaven. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you are not tempted as well." When we have friends or when we have brothers and sisters that are caught in a sin, are we there to condemn or are we there to try to encourage them and restore them spiritually? That's part of keeping the weekday holy, to being approachable. You know, I've known some people who were very, very upright, very righteous people, and you wouldn't want to go talk to them about a sin because you'd feel even worse leaving after you talked to them than you did before you went in. Now, I'm not saying excuse sin. I'm not saying that at all. But we can encourage them that whatever sin that they have been entangled with, that they can be forgiven, that they can be, that they can overcome it if it's something that goes on regularly, that the Scriptures have the words of life. We can tell them, look, I'll be your friend. I'll help you. You need somebody to hold you accountable? I'll help you with that. We can encourage them and strengthen them and exhort them and teach them. And therefore, be such that we are restoring them. You know, if I go to the doctor and I've got a health problem, I don't want a 30-minute lecture on how bad my health habits have been. I want to understand, okay, doc, you know, I understand why this is not a good thing. You spent 2 minutes and told me that. Great. How do I get out of this? How do I get back to health? You know, I'm paying you to heal me. Tell me what I need to do. I don't want a lecture. Now, that's me. Now, I do know there are sometimes people, you go in and he tells you this is why this is bad and this is what you need to do. And you go back 6 months later or 3 months later and you are not doing what he prescribed. If he wants to be a little more aggressive, fine. Okay? That's what he's supposed to do. But the goal is always to restore. Restore, restore, restore. Okay? All right. We need to be able to provide daily ministration. So in Acts 6:1, the Scripture says, "Now at this time, as the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint developed on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food." There's work that needs to be done in the church for the brothers and sisters. You know, I heard we're not supposed to pull weeds out there because somebody sprayed them with Roundup, right? Somebody was doing ministration out there, all right? Thank you, Art. There's work that's been done around this building for years. Thank you, Jennings. There's, you know, people who step up and they do things that need to be done. We took meals out to Dana. We've taken meals to other people, right? We're trying to make sure that we're doing the things that are proper to help individuals out. James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world." We have a job to do. Now, there are some who've taken this to the wrong area. They've said that the church's only role is to go out and do social work. No, that would not be correct. We do social work as light, reflecting the light of God, and attribute that work to our love for Him because He loved us first. And our goal is for them to be able to understand why we do these things and to either continue on in the Lord or to be more interested in the Lord so that they will ask us questions, so that they will study, so that they will become Christians. We're about expanding the kingdom. So, yes, we can do nice things for nice things' sake. That's good. But when it comes to the church, we do nice things not only for nice things' sake, but also because we are reflecting the light of God. We're trying to show other people what being a Christian is about. You know, I would see this in the scriptures that talk about a Christian couple where the husband is not a Christian. The wife acts a certain way so that the husband will come to Christ. What is she doing? Yes, she's being good for good's sake, but she's also doing it for a purpose. You know, we can do more than one thing at a time. We're allowed to do that. So let's show or demonstrate the love of God to others in the Christian acts that we do. You know, when I was a kid, I heard about a church that had a sign above the auditorium that said, "Enter to praise, leave to serve." And the concept was, we're going to come together and praise Him and learn more about how to be better Christians. And when we leave here, we're going to be better servants. If all we do is come here on Sunday and get our gas tank filled up so that we can burn that until the next time we come together, that's kind of short-sighted. We come in and get our gas tank filled up so that we can use it in service to the Lord. And therefore, expand the kingdom, demonstrate His love. We can tell others about Christ and make other Christians. If anything has been proven in this world, we need more servants. There's plenty of work for us to do, even in this little village here. There are plenty of people that need to hear the gospel. So these are things that we need to do to remember the weekday to keep it holy. But I think one of the biggest things that we need to understand is that we need to do daily cross-bearing. Luke 9:23, "And He was saying to them all, 'If anyone wants to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me.'" It's easy to be a Christian on Sunday morning. It's not so easy to be a Christian the rest of the week. You know, whether somebody's providing you poor service, are you going to show the love of Christ in your interaction with them? Maybe somebody is making fun of you for being a Christian. Are you going to show them the love of Jesus? Are you going to carry that cross? There are things that happen to us that are distasteful in this world. We can either bear the cross or we can lash out. Lashing out is usually not the way that we should act. We need to bear His cross every day and show that we believe in the things that He taught. Show that we believe in the things that are taught from the pulpit on Sundays. So What I'm encouraging you tonight to do is to not just make religion a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning thing. I want you to make it a daily activity. Daily religion brings daily results. And you'll see those things in your life. Remember, when we put on Christ in baptism and rose to walk in newness of life, we chose to become Christians, servants in the kingdom. You are a Christian at all times. Somebody's always watching, whether it's God above or the people around us, to see if we walk the walk that we taught. This evening, if we can help you with your daily walk, we would love to pray with you. If you need to become a Christian, we'd love to help out with that through baptism. We love you, and we want you to be a Christian every day and to enjoy that abundant life. Please come while we stand and sing.